us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 382. 382. Dear Lord, to us assembled here, reveal thy smiling face, while we by faith, with love and fear, approach the throne of grace. Hymn 382.
Thank you.
Let's read for our instruction from the Word of God out of the book of Genesis in chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, in his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and there fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief before him, he shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? May the Lord give that understanding in his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. O righteous, holy Lord God, wilt thou help us now to come unto that throne, to that mercy seat, and to that sprinkling of blood, and to Jesus. Oh, we would see Jesus. We would behold that one, clothed in a body like our own, to see him who of God is made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to his people. Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to come there and there to plead with thee. We would come, Lord, with the words of Judah of old and beg that thou wilt yet hear us, that thou wilt attend unto our words. Wilt thou further, Lord, give unto us such grace and wisdom that we too, Lord, may come and make our requests known. Oh, that we may, Lord, feel that great unction of the Spirit of God to draw our souls. Wilt thou then, Lord, come to bless. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt now be pleased to help us to truly come near unto thee. Oh, to lay aside now all the weights, the concerns, the burdens, the anxious thoughts of the past week, the week ahead, that we may, Lord, feel that there is something now that we attend to that exceeds all of these other things, exceeds it in its greatness, its wonder, its beauty. Oh, to have such a glimpse of the eternal things, of the blessing of the Lord, of that divine favor, to have some sweet glimpse of that union, to experience and taste that fellowship with thee. Oh Lord, what can be compared on earth to that? Oh, make known to us then, Lord, a little of it. Oh, that there might be here today souls who are favored to receive such communion with thee, to feel their heart raised up, their soul enlarged in all their requests, to feel something of that love of God shed abroad in their heart, the smile of the Saviour, a visit from Him. O Lord, help us that we may see those blessings indeed, that we may be found walking, following after. Oh, we need grace, Lord, that we may rightly lay hold of eternal life. Oh, we would, Lord, seek that help, that we may be enabled to so come and shun the bewitching snares of the world, to escape from all the temptations the evil one sets. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from all these stumbling stones and blocks and snares and traps. And do help us, Lord, that we may then be found walking in the way of thy commandments. Oh, we read of one, Lord, who said that he would run the way of thy commandments when thou wouldst enlarge his heart. And Lord, so it must be with such even today. Oh, we do need that enlarging, Lord. We would cry with one of old who said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Lord, that's what we want and long for. To be enlarged in our knowledge, to be enlarged in our experience, to be enlarged in all the graces of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we may know, Lord, real enlargement, to be a Rehoboth where there is yet room made. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst so then increase. But oh, come, Lord, and undertake. And do, Lord, help us also come and confess every sin, to repent and come before thee, Lord, for that cleansing, that thou wilt wash away every stain, take away all iniquity. O Lord, do show unto us that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, but surely thou knowest, Lord, this day as we come, the needs there are, the straits, the conditions. Thou knowest, Lord, such who feel even now something of that solemn state of being lost. They fear, Lord, they shall ever be lost. They cannot see how they can ever be found. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come to such and shine forth. And, oh, Lord, may they find that the Lord, he doth seek out his sheep. Lord, we bless thee for that. Thou dost still seek them out. Thou dost still bring them. Oh, that thou wilt bring, Lord, many here. May it be that they may be brought under the rod, into the covenant, into the sacred union. Be blessed, Lord, with that sweet knowledge. And be helped, Lord, to rest in thee. Oh, that thou wouldst so come then and bless. Oh, but do, Lord, search us out. If any should be resting upon any false foundation, to be resting on a bed too short, to be covered with a covering too narrow. Oh, Lord, if there be any whose hearts have still deceived, wilt thou then come, Lord, to them to truly awaken, to show unto them their state, to cause them, Lord, to flee unto thee. O Lord, we need that help to come in the spirit of one of old. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O Lord, may it be that prayer is found in many hearts here this morning. O then, so condescend unto us. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst show that thou art that God who, in leading thy people, thou dost lead them in those places which to them seem so crooked, a wilderness path, a way that's so trying, a way in which thou dost prove them, that they may know what is in their heart, that they may learn more of themselves, the depraved nature, the darkness, the foolishness. Oh, what a way thou dost take to humble thy people, to bring them low, that they might be brought in at last. Oh, Lord, do come now then. and help us to truly trust in God, to wait upon him. But, O Lord, do put forth thy hand and do strengthen, sustain, and lead forth. Remember, Lord, each case here this morning. O Lord, that wilt thou bless, young and old. O, we do thank thee that such is thy grace, that the eldest need not despair, that the youngest is not too young. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless then the word of God unto the hearts. Seal the truth into the soul, and do unite such, Lord, to fear thy name. Remember those under darkness, those in bondage, those in temptation, those who feel there is everything against them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt undertake. Wilt thou yet hold them up, lead them on, bring them safely through. Give them, Lord, to see that thou hast gone before them and thou wilt not forsake. Remember, Lord, each family. Oh, we would pray for them. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, in each case, some families, Lord, are but one person now. But yet, Lord, thou canst come even to that family and bring them into that family of God. But there are those, Lord, where there are many, parents and children. Lord, remember them especially. Be gracious still, yet uphold. Give the parents, Lord, understanding. Give them meekness, diligence, faithfulness, tenderness. Oh, that thou wilt bless them, Lord, and help them, Lord, in training up the children. Oh, Lord, remember even the youths, Lord. May they, Lord, be given that fear of God. And oh, that there might be, Lord, in their heart, something of that godly fear, whereby they shall shun the bewitching snares of the world. Help them then, Lord, we pray. Give unto us each, Lord, to feel that love. A love to thee, to thy people, to thy word, to thy day. A love, Lord, to thy name. Oh, that we may truly know something of that love. The love of Christ constraining. Oh, Lord, then help us. Remember now, Lord, then our every need. Do now appear. And do, Lord, send the Spirit down. Oh, that he may take the things of Jesus. Show them unto us. Lead us, Lord, into the truth of thy word. Oh, we believe, Lord, in every part there is instruction for the ignorant. There is light for the blind and that those that sit in darkness. There is strength for the weak. Oh, then, Lord, direct the word unto each heart. Do, Lord, remember then all those under trials and afflictions. Oh, yet uphold and sanctify. And thou knowest, Lord, each one in that path. Some, Lord, who even here this morning feel it. Others unable to come because of it. But thou knowest, Lord, their need. Then do have mercy. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt now, Lord, then pardon our many sins. Oh, we need that help to confess, Lord, to repent with godly sorrow, and then, Lord, to look unto Jesus with that hope that for his sake we may be forgiven and we may be received. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt then hear us there. As we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue by singing hymn number 238, with melting heart and weeping eyes. My guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee? To escape the vengeance due to me. Hymn 238. gracious help. I'll direct your thoughts this morning over to the book of Genesis, chapter 44, and reading verse 14. Genesis 44 and verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. The experience that the Lord sets before his people in the Word of God is always that of being brought low before him. It must be so. And dear friend, that will be a sovereign work of grace to bring any poor sinner low before the feet of Jesus. A necessary work, a vital work, a work which is imperative. For if we're never brought there, we will never know of salvation. And so we have it brought before us in the Word of God in various cases and various ways of how there were those that were brought. These are pictures set before us. And so it must be here in this narrative, the wonderful way in which we see something of this effected, a truth that's set before us so very clearly. But the important thing is that we might see ourselves in it. Is it how many there are that read these narratives like this? They read it with interest, perhaps, even delight. They read it in a way of almost amusement, perhaps. It entertains. It's a lovely story. But they never enter into the secret. They never get into the truth of the text, the truth of the whole teaching. And dear friend, that is what is very sad. I have no doubt, but there are those who might read the whole case of Joseph and his brethren, and they might even weep over it, and never enter into the secret of it. You all know what it is. You may read some story, some account, some novel. And the way it's written, it moves one to tears. How sad if our reading of the scriptures and any understanding of it is nothing more than like that of a novel. And so we have here this morning something of a vital truth that is set before us. A truth that the Lord makes known unto his people by the way in which the people of God here are manifest in this whole account of Joseph and his brethren. And we marvel too at that grace given to each of them. What grace was given to Joseph? Great grace. What grace was given to the brethren? They too were given much grace, as we find here. There's something here very beautiful. I believe we have here at this moment something of a conversion. We cannot say for sure where that grace began with Judah. But I would be of the opinion that it began here. That man was brought to some realization, a solemn realization of his state before God, of what he had done, of the condemnation that he was under. What a great mercy it will be if you are ever brought to that state so, and you begin to feel that your condemnation before the Lord, your guilt, that you now are in an awful state, an awful place. But before we enter into the text, just a few observations that we might draw from for our instruction. We read in the opening verses of this chapter that the brothers of Judah, of Joseph, Simeon is restored to them. They have received again the grain in their sacks. They have even had a dinner with the great governor of Egypt. Early in the morning, as soon as it was light, we're told, the men were sent on their way. They were sent out by the governor of Egypt. Oh, as they began to reflect upon all that had happened, the fears of their father, they would say, now we're so unfounded, for we received graciously. Benjamin was received graciously. They remembered the mess that he, five times as much as theirs. Everything seemed to be going well. The sun was smiling. Their steps were light. Oh, it was a morning to be remembered. And then what? As quick as the morning light began to shine, a dark cloud came over. And everything was turned around. Their hopes dashed, and all was gone. Oh, dear friend, how quickly a bright sunny morning may turn to a very dark and cloudy day. This is the teaching here. Yes, and just as true, there may be some very dark, dark nights that very soon may be turned into the bright morning of a day. Oh, the ways of God in His dealings with poor sinners, to teach, to humble, to instruct them in their way. They were gone out, and we can almost expect how they began to talk amongst themselves of the good favor they'd received, and how they now would have so much to tell their father. Ah, but then the servant from Joseph's house comes. And oh, soon there's a false charge, as they thought. And soon, they're all taking their sacks down and opening them. And oh, different what? What a change now takes place. And that brings us to our text this morning. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. Let's look at this coming to Joseph's house. You know, may the Lord help us to glean from it, draw forth the teaching of it, to see something of the way in which they came, to know something of the feelings, the experience, the goings forth of their soul in coming to Joseph's house. The despair that began to set in. And now, oh, what would take place? And Judah and his brethren came. Here I say, I believe we have something of that beginning with Judah. All up till now it was Joseph's brethren. No one was singled out apart from Simeon. When Joseph did not let him go back on the first occasion, he kept him in the prison. But now, as they return, Judah becomes the principal character. Judah becomes the spokesman. Judah becomes their mentor. Judah becomes their defender. Judah becomes all things unto them. Here indeed, even prior to what Jacob would prophesy of him, Judah, thou art he whom his brethren will praise. Thou art he. And it begins now. At this moment. And that's why I said, if I am of the opinion that this was the conversion of Judah. This was a hard way for him to go, yes. But a necessary way. And those who are taught of God, and those who are blessed of the Lord, and those who are called by God, they will know something of this path of Judah now. They too will experience in their little way what is now said of him. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. To the house of that governor of Egypt. That's all they knew him as yet. Oh, they could not perceive what was yet awaiting. And thus a poor soul who was brought near to God, which is what this speaks of here, to come to the house. They're being brought nigh unto God. Oh, different, what a great thing that is. Exceeding great. To really be brought nigh to God. We might just pause for a moment. So, have you ever really been brought nigh to him? I'm not asking if you've gone in prayer. Have you really been brought nigh unto God? If you have, you will remember it. You will remember, especially in those first times, the awfulness you felt, the foreboding nature, the fears, the dread, the awfulness. You will know what Jacob spoke in Genesis chapter 28. Surely the Lord is in this place. How dreadful it is. How dreadful. When we're brought nigh to God. Oh, who can stand before that God? You remember on one occasion, it was said of Elijah when the king had sent the captain and his 50, and they were destroyed. The second captain and his 50, and they were destroyed. It came now. Well, who can stand before this man Elijah? Oh, but who can stand before God? And Judah and his brethren now come to the house of Joseph. I would have you notice, first of all, dear friend, their self-righteousness. You say self-righteousness. Yes, there was self-righteousness. How do we come to that deduction, that conclusion? Well, when that servant of Joseph had come, saying unto them, wherefore have ye taken of my Lord's cup? Judah and his brethren answer, in essence, he's speaking, no doubt, but they all together, they did answer unto them, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do any according to this thing. And they reminded him of the money that they had found in their sacks on the first trip, and they had brought it back now. Why would we then steal out of the Lord's house? If we brought our money back, self-righteous. Self-righteousness again was revealed in that word. With whomsoever thy servants it be found, let him die. They were so sure of their own uprightness there, that they were without fault. Self-righteous. Here's that picture. Oh, how self-righteous men are in and of themselves. Joseph's brethren are a picture here for us of that. Let him die. And furthermore, again, they were so sure, they were so confident that they were not guilty. And we, the rest of us, will become servants unto the Lord. Ah, here was their boasting. Here was their what they thought was truly sure of themselves. They were innocent, they were sure of. They didn't think there could be any wrong ever charged upon them. You see, dear friend, they've forgotten all that they had done in times past. And so much do we too. We deal only with the present, don't we? But Lord will bring everything to light. And he will do so in such a way with these brethren of Joseph. It won't be now just the fact that the cup is taken. Oh, the sins that they will be brought face to face with, the guilt that will come upon them. Oh, they will now see what they have been, what they've done. This was the unfolding here of the work of God in the heart. With whomsoever thy servants that be found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And you can imagine too, different when they took their sacks and began to open them, and how poignant was everything done here and ordered by the Holy Spirit. That servant of Joseph, no doubt under the guidance of Joseph, he began at the eldest. And he went right on down from Jude, from Reuben to Simeon to Levi to Judah and right on down. And as each one, the sack was open and nothing found, oh, they became even more sure, didn't they? Until they got to Benjamin. Sure they were, I'm sure, that youngest brother of theirs had never done anything like that. Oh, they had to be taken away from all self-righteousness. From any good in self. And so must we. And if you could enter into that, the words of the hymn we've just finished singing now, so. If you know something of that place that the hymn writer was brought, feelingly so. If from time to time you can come in your own soul and say, oh, how dreadful now my guilt appears in childhood, youth, and growing years. Oh, that it brings back all things. Before thy pure discerning eye, Lord, what a filthy wretch am I. That's what now must come to these brethren. But then, you see here, now they were self-condemned. They didn't need anybody else to say a word. When that cup was found in Benjamin's sack, now there was a work that was being done. For we read of these brethren that they rent their clothes. Now, one can only wonder. I would expect these were the same clothes yet that they came from their father's house in. Remember, Joseph had given them each a change of garments. And to Benjamin 5. But now, they rent their clothes. A sign of tremendous grief, great distress, sorrow beyond expression, the rending of their clothes. They were condemned. They were not guilty. The effect upon them all was so great, that all 11, Benjamin included, and some might say, wow, does it not seem cruel of Joseph to do that to his brother? Oh, no, dear friend, Joseph knew what he was doing. So often the things that the Lord brings into the path of those whom he will bless, whom he will instruct, whom he will draw near to him, things that he lays upon them, trials so sharp, thorns in the flesh that hurt so much. Oh, the Lord knows what he's doing in them. When thinking of different friends and their lingering trials, here and elsewhere, one would almost despair. Had he not some sweet thought at times and hope that the Lord, the God of all grace, the God of mercy, that the Lord knows what he's doing? It's hard at times to acknowledge, hard to bow under. But oh, he does. When no relief comes, when no help is given, when there seems, as it were, to be nothing of God's favor, what a trying time it is then. And Jude and his brethren came to Joseph's house. And see another aspect of that thought, that they were self-condemned. And they fell before him. Now they had already bowed before him. That had been fulfilled. But here now we see how striking are the words. And they fell before him on the ground. Oh, before that they could bow down, they could kneel before him, they did obeisance to him. But now, dear friend, they fall. Why? Because guilt hangs heavy on their soul. What a difference it makes. You and I may at times bow our head before the Lord, bow our knees before him. All well and good. But oh, when guilt hangs heavy on the soul, and we fall before him, there's a difference. A vital difference. And that's what these brothers needed now. To come and fall. Oh, what a place they were in. What distress they had. And what guilt. To be condemned himself. It's a painful thing. A necessary lesson. And that's what Joseph was working here. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. They knew it only as that house of the governor of Egypt. What had all had taken place the day before when they were feasted so graciously and so abundantly. Now it was all forgotten. The whole scene has changed. The joy, the delight they had experienced in that house the day before. Now is like a dream long gone. For the anguish they feel. But now you see, dear friend, we find that these brethren, they come and they fall before Joseph. And Judah begins to speak. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord?" What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? Oh, the mouth now makes confession. And dear friend, that's what needs to be done. We read in Romans chapter 10, "For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation in the end." This is the needful thing, this confession. And this is when the Lord will open the mouth, enabling the soul to bring forth such confessions. Dear friend, that's a wonderful thing, really, when God opens your mouth for that. Until he does, we're dumb. We're like David speaks in Psalm 13, "I was dumb with silence because thou didst it." David couldn't open his mouth till the Lord gave that liberty. So you will know and understand, if God teaches you, there are times you won't be able to open your mouth. Even in the way of confession and repentance, until God gives liberty. See how different this is from that way which so many today set forth and propose, as if to make confession is something so quick and easily done, the matter settled. No, it will not be so. God makes it very clear throughout his word. He makes it clear here in the case of these brethren. They did not know how or what to say. How shall we clear ourselves? What shall we say or speak unto the Lord, my Lord? Notice the mouth of confession again. "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." And I believe, dear friend, that now Judah now isn't looking at what Benjamin has supposedly done. He's not looking at what the other brethren have done. Judah is being brought now to his own sin. Do remember who it was that came up with the plan and suggested it to the brothers that they sell Joseph to those Ishmaelites. That was Judah. The others had spoke of killing him, Simeon the ringleader. Judah no doubt went along. Reuben is the one who interceded and said, "Do not kill the boy. Put him in the pit." While they sat down to eat and saw the Ishmaelites come, Judah said, "Look, let's sell him to those Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon the brother." Now his sin, his guilt, his wrong, his life and all its evil comes before him. And Judah had much. Go back a few chapters before, and the way he mistreated his daughter-in-law. Oh, poor Judah. God had found out the iniquity of his servants. And dear friend, that's just what will take place when God begins, as it were, to open the heart. When he begins to uncover and take the veil away. When he begins to shine with his light into the soul. And all the sin, the darkness, the depraved nature springs up to light. No wonder, as dear Mr. Hart speaks in his most beautiful hymn of the experience of those who are brought to know this light, how all the pangs by Christians felt when their eyes are open. When they see the goss of guilt, they must wade and grope in. When the hell appears within, causing bitter anguish, and the loathsome stench of sin makes the spirit languish, now the heart disclosed betrays all its hid disorders, enmity to God's right ways, blasphemies and murders, malice, envy, lust and pride, thoughts obscene and filthy, sores corrupt and putrefied, no part sound or healthy. Now you see, dear friend, you and I must be brought to know those things. Our repentance is nothing if it doesn't come out of the knowledge of that. All things to promote our fall show a mighty fitness. Satan will accuse with all, and the conscience witness. Foes within and foes without, wrath and law and terrors, rash presumption, timid doubt, coldness, deadness, errors. Judah speaks, God, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. And oh, defend the Lord, when he begins to find it out, he'll make a thorough search of it to the soul. Oh, hear now something of that confession. And it's a confession that needs to be brought and wrought in the heart and soul. It is that confession that must go before any revelation that will be made. You see, that's what Joseph is about. In that very house, he's about to reveal himself. But first, there must be this confession. He must hear something of that sorrow, a godly sorrow of repentance, of a godly repentance. You see, this is brought forth before us always and throughout the Word of God, these occasions. There's perhaps one which is very, very beautiful. And it's one perhaps, friends, that we hardly ever have given thought to. In the book of Ezekiel, you see, in that book, there's so many different truths that are brought before us. But in the 20th chapter of that book, the Lord speaks by his servant the prophet to his people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I have lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. See what the Lord is saying? Ye shall know I'm the Lord when I bring you into the land of promise, the land of hope, the land which I promised to the fathers. And then what? And there, shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. Oh, dear friend, when the Lord brings his people into that place, he will cause them to loathe themselves. How different, how sadly different from all that we find around us so much today. When people seem to come into some knowledge of God and forgiveness of sin, and they never loathe themselves before the Lord. I never hear it. In our own circles, in our own churches, it's something that's so solemnly missing. They loathe themselves before the Lord. There shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, which have brought you wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, I haven't wrought with you according to that. Oh, different had he done that, he would have cast them off. He would have thrown them away. I haven't wrought with you for your name, for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O house of Israel, saith the Lord God. No, dear friend, that's where God was, Joseph's brother, were being brought. Oh, how they needed to come there. Again in the fifth chapter of Hosea, the Lord speaks again unto Ephraim, and I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offences and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Oh, this is that way that God, and all of Scripture bears testimony to this same glorious truth. Ah, here then, we have it in Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. Now, let's consider something of their coming. They're coming back to that house. What a sight it was to see them approach. And remember, dear friend, that house was completely different than anything they were used to. What a palace it was. If Joseph was indeed the governor of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, you can imagine what sort of a house it was. The most elite of that day. Oh, the beauty of it. The size of it. The splendor. And what were these brethren used to? Tents. They were nothing but nomads, really. Living in tents. And they're coming down to that house. Rent clothes. A sign of poverty, a sign of distress. Heads bowed. Shame covers them. They come to that house. And they came to Joseph's house. But see, dear friend, first this. They came to that house by Joseph's power. It was Joseph who was bringing them back. Joseph directing the way. Joseph ordering everything. Joseph overruling it all. What a picture here we have of the Lord working in the heart of a poor sinner. He brings them back, but see, dear friend, all the power is on the side of God. All that he works for that soul. Yes, dear friend, they wouldn't have come back any other way. They must come back in this way. Here's that power that he might have. Oh, dear friend, think of it. And if Joseph's power was such toward his brethren, how much more? Is the power of Almighty God, who rules every minute circumstance of our lives, who controls every little thing, who orders every day. Oh, the power of Almighty God. Especially when that power is manifested to bring poor sinners back to his house. Here's a beautiful picture now. Joseph was still there. Of course he was. He would be waiting for them. He was waiting. He knew they were coming. Oh, what a something similar to the prodigal son, really. The father looking for him. And waiting. Oh, they come. Not only does Joseph manifest his power, but Joseph's purpose is manifested too. Here. What is Joseph's purpose? to humble his brethren, to convict his brethren, to make his brother know the purpose, to test his brethren. What sort of repentance did they have? What sort of feelings did they now express? Oh, the multiple purposes of Joseph now, improving these brethren. And how much more the Lord? Oh, different in all those things that he sets before his people, sets in their path, sets in their heart, those troubles, trials, conflicts, disturbances, to know what is in their heart, to prove them. Oh, what a purpose there is in it that Joseph displays. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. But then too, Joseph also was preparing them for what he was ready to reveal. So see, different his power, his purpose, the preparation. This too is that order of God. God is a God of order, and he works according to it. And in that way, different, he does it with all his dear people. They might be led in different paths. They might have different experiences. But there will be the same order that he works in. He will manifest his power, show his purpose, and lead them to that preparation. A preparation for something wonderful. A preparation for something beyond what they could ever think. Oh, dear, so this is what was coming now for these brethren. And they came, Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord?" You see, dear friend, notice now too, their indebtedness to Joseph. An indebtedness, first of all, for the corn that they'd received on a former occasion and their money sent back with them. They were indebted to him. Now, how much more are you and I indebted to Almighty God? For all the provisions of our lives. And yet, we behave as bad and worse than Joseph's brethren. Again, they were indebted because of that money that was restored. Their money was given back. Oh, what indebtedness they had on that account. Surely they were indebted for that wonderful meal that he provided for them the day before, when they were brought to his house. They were indebted for the sparing of their lives. All the wonderful care and provision. They would be indebted to him too for the sin forgiven. For Joseph was one ready to forgive. When Joseph saw those brethren the very first time, he already was ready to forgive. But they needed to repent. Oh dear soul, had you a glimpse of that this morning? That God whom you're so indebted to, that God whom you've so offended, that God whom you've grieved so, he's ready to forgive. But there must be repentance. There must be that sorrow of heart and confession made. And they look into Him. Oh, this is now what Joseph is now working for his brethren. They came to Joseph's house. But then, oh, to behold this. See, dear friend, when Joseph speaks of Benjamin, that Benjamin's going to be put in the prison. He must die. Judah comes near. Then Judah came near. Here was a man who was only a shepherd. That's all Joseph's brethren were. But dear friend, you would not find more eloquent language used by any scholar than what Judah uses here to intercede for his brother. Oh, the force of the language. The richness of that tone. The beauty of his argument. As he comes with these words and pleads for his brother's behalf. Pleads for his father's sake. Seeks, as it were, to touch the heart of that governor of Egypt. To move him to some compassion. And move him he did. Move him he did. We find that when Judah has finished, Joseph could not refrain himself. He could not hold back. Well, the very next chapter, the opening words, Joseph could not refrain himself before them, before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go forth from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brother. Oh, the revelation that now is brought. Oh, even this was the reason they had to come to Joseph's house again. They could not go back to their father without that revelation. To those this morning who are troubled and distressed and who feel just like Judah and his brethren here at this time, guilty and condemned. Oh, dear friend, you think, well, then what will the Lord reveal himself to me? Yes, he will. Wait on him. Wait on him. A time he is set to heal up thy wounds. A season most fit his grace to disclose. Until he is ready. Oh, dear, that's the point. Till he is ready. Be patient, be steady, and wait on him still. Oh, this now is brought to its end in the house of Joseph. Oh, what a discovery there was. What beauty and perfection in the way that Joseph led his brothers to that moment. And so it will be with everyone who fears God. They will see in the end God's way of perfection. God's right way to bring him those souls to that revelation. Well, may the Lord direct our hearts, our thoughts into something of this truth for his name's sake. Let's continue now by singing hymn number 44. Hymn 44. Here, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands. And on me justly might us now pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. Hymn number 44. Blessing upon thy word, forgiving all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.